much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Friday to you. Well, here is my question for you, and it's about your story. Maybe you're here now, but maybe not. Maybe you were before, though. Can you think of a time in your story where you hit a total dead end, or where maybe your dreams and your life as you knew it unraveled before your eyes, and you felt completely disillusioned with God and wondering, did I hear right? I thought things were going well. I thought this was the path you had for me. What happened? Well, today's guest, Jenny Simmons, maybe you recognize her name from the band Addison Road. Well, she's written a book, a beautiful book called The Road to Becoming, Rediscovering Your Life in the Not How I Planned It Moments. I love this book. It's raw, it's honest, great story. She's hysterically funny and very deep. Those are some of my most favorite attributes in a person, I will tell you. We've got three copies of Jenny's book to give away today, and I'm going to just unpack her story with her. I'm excited about it. I'm going to say, we'll probably open the phone lines a couple of times in case you have questions about how you navigate the waters. If you feel like you've just, maybe that's even the wrong analogy or metaphor, but what do you do when you've hit a dead end and you feel like you're not hearing from God? You've just been left alone. Maybe Jenny and I can pray with you. So I'll open the phone lines a couple of times, but a couple quick announcements before I get Jenny on the line here. You know this if you've been listening every day. We are right smack dab in the middle of our Live Free Challenge. But I'm still saying it's not too late to join us. What we're asking you to do and me to do is to use our best energies for the world's greatest needs. And this is what it looks like. We're partnering with Venture Expeditions. They've created a program on our website. So basically, you decide how many miles you can do in August, whether it's bike, run, walk, okay? You decide how many miles you want to do for justice's sake. In a matter of 4 minutes, you have a fundraising page up where you say, like for me, I'm doing 200 miles on my bike, and I'm hoping to raise $2,000, and all of the funds will go to International Justice Mission to help put an end to human trafficking. Our goal was $50,000. We have $80,000 pledged, but you may know this, but usually about two-thirds of the funds pledged are what actually come in. But okay, so you're on the 12th of August. Maybe you can start now and just figure out what you can manage for the rest of this month. We've actually got a Live Free Challenge Facebook page where people are posting saying, I did my miles, my shins hurt today, and everybody's encouraging everybody else. But as we are digging deep and pushing harder than we feel like going, we remember those, the millions upon millions who live in daily, constant oppression. It's like you're digging deep for a cause that's bigger than yourself. I'm just saying, it's not too late to join us, so I pray that you'll consider it. All the information is on our website. It's called the Live Free Challenge. Go to our website, myfaithradio.com. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Jenny Simmons is a dynamic storyteller, sought-after musician, blogger, and speaker. You can read her blog at jennysimmons.com. She and her husband, Ryan, live in Nashville, Tennessee, and we're honored to have her on the show today. Hey, Jenny, welcome to the show.
Hey. Hey, Susie. Thanks for having me.
Looking forward to our conversation, Jenny, and we do this every single day. We love to start out by talking scripture, and I'm wondering if you either have a life verse or just a passage you've been thinking about these days that you can share with us.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think I always go back to Isaiah 43, and it's the whole passage I love, and I think I know it so well because when I was, what grade was I in? I was in third grade when my parents decided to move from like small town Mississippi to Texas so they could go to seminary. And so my mom, you know, my mom and dad both worked multiple jobs and went through seminary and then raised three girls at the same time. And so I just remember her driving us to school and throwing Bibles in our hands and being like, quiz me. And she was a new believer and loved, she just loved the word of God. Like she would read things and be like, can you believe this story? And so Isaiah 43 was one of those passages she taught us when we were really young, and it came back to me a few years ago. And I just can't even talk to people without mentioning it, because it starts off and it says, fear not, I'm the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. I have called you by my name and you are mine. Mm-hmm. And he goes on to say that he walks through the waters and the fires with us, and that I love it. It goes on. It says, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. Do you not perceive it? I love God saying that. Do you not perceive it, Jenny? I am doing a new thing. I'm making a way in the wilderness and bringing streams into your desert.
Boy, This is why we do that, Jenny. I'm quite sure somebody, if not many people listening today, needed to hear that exact word, because so often we're dragging stuff with us from our past, and it's keeping us from dreaming with God about the future. I bet you had to sing that song to yourself several times over the course of your journey, and which we all do because we hit those places, right?
Absolutely.
My goodness.
I remember the first time looking at that passage, and in the beginning of the book, I talk about this fire that we have when we lose everything that we own. And I remember going back to the passage of scripture and being like, oh my gosh, this was written for me. Like, I just went through the fire. That was my verse. And I've spoken those words over myself more times than I can count.
Well, it's so nice of you to share it with the rest of us. I'm just saying, it's your verse, but if you could let us use it once in a while, that's just great.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that.
Please borrow it.
Yes. All right. So Jenny, tell us a little bit more about just your backstory of your faith journey and even how God really prepared you for music. And we'd love just a little context of your story.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I love being able to talk to teenage girls. So maybe if there's moms or dads out there listening and you don't know what to do with your child who loves the Lord and who also is like, I was in public high school and I was just sort of in no man's land because I loved Jesus and I was following him, but that meant being excluded from everything, really. And so to be a person of faith, especially these days in junior high and high school, is so hard. But I always say to those parents and to those daughters that listen to me that those were the days that I fell in love with the Lord. And I don't think the music career I had or the writing that I've done or any of the ministry that I've watched unfold, I just don't know that it would have happened had I not fallen in love with God and learned to listen to his voice when I was in 8th grade and 9th grade and 10th grade. And every time I was not invited, every time I was the only girl that was on the cheerleading squad that wasn't invited to the parties or the summer parties or out with the football players because they knew what I wouldn't do. And I would go home and I would fight through those tears of sadness. When I got to the other side of feeling excluded, it was like God met me there and would say, are you ready to be with me now? You know? Mm-hmm. And so that's my prayer for teenagers today, is that they would stay in the middle of those schools that they're in and those environments they're in, and that God would protect them. And that every time they feel like they are less than or left out, that they would realize those are holy moments where God is sowing the seeds of who they're becoming. And for me, that's where I grew up, and that's where I fell in love with God's voice, is when I was uninvited.
Boy, Jenny, I wish we could just frame that and send it out to every single teen out there, boys and girls, truly, because, what they navigate in schools today and the constant messages that you're not enough, you don't fit in. Imagine what God could do. What a prophetic word, really. Okay, so bring us to that point where you're sitting in the in a meeting with a record label, and he asks you, I'm trying to remember even how he phrased the question about, did he ask you why you wanted to do it? Why do you do this business? I'm trying to remember the question, forgive me, but I remember your answer being something you were so afraid to give, but you jumped, you did it. And he said, well, that's actually what I hear consistently. Tell us that story.
Yeah. Well, we had flown to Nashville to meet with one of these big time, you know, record label presidents. And he said, how do you know that you're made for this? Like, how do you know that this is where you're supposed to be? And I remember telling him, like, I'm not the most qualified. I'm not the best singer in the entire world. I'm not, you know, there's going to be a million girls probably that can play instruments better than me, that can sing better than me, all this stuff. But I told him every time I go to see a show, and I had amazing parents who brought me to, they would say, if it's a Christian concert, we'll take you. We don't care what we have to do to get you there. Mm-hmm. And we would even go and wait. Mom would say, Jen, you know, there's always church groups who overbuy tickets. And so there were years when they were in seminary, we were totally broke. And she would be like, but if we go wait outside the door, it's like, I'm confident that somebody will offer us a ticket for free. And I'd be like, she's crazy. And it happened every time.
Man.
We would end up like on front rows. And so I had those parents who would bring me, and I would sit in these concerts, Susie, and the presence of God would like fall over me. And I remember sitting there and I would just cry through the whole thing because I felt like there was this stirring inside of me that it was who I was supposed to be and what I was supposed to be about.
And
I remember telling them,
I was just going to say that your parents would expose you to, they saw the calling on your life, but that they would, you know, even I mean, inconvenience themselves, so to speak, to say, we're going to get you to these places. And Jenny, then you got a glimpse of what God had for you. How powerful is that? So, okay, take it from there. So you just were getting a glimpse of what your future was like. You started to cultivate this craft of music. How did a record label eventually get interested in you?
You know, I think we just, we did our thing for so long without even pursuing the record label. We were in Texas, and there's a lot of churches in Texas. And so we just decided, you know what, nobody in Minnesota or Florida may ever hear from us, but we're going to work where we're at, and we just start where we're, you know, planted. And so we were in college together. We would play all the little coffee shops in our college town, and we would play for any youth pastor who said they wanted a girl to come lead worship so their girls would hear a female worship leader. I was like, I'll come do it. We would play everything all the time. And by the time we got towards the end of our senior year of college, we had played hundreds of shows. They were teeny tiny, terrible little shows, but we just were faithful, I think, to where we were, where our roots were. And so after we did that for several years, that's when I think the record labels came along and said, oh, wait a minute. They're still doing this, and they're committed to it. And you know, by that point, we'd probably done 500 or 600 shows. They didn't know that they were little tiny ones. They just knew that we were out there working hard and doing what we felt like God had called us to do.
And they contacted you.
Yeah, they contacted us. They did. We were leading worship at a church in Richardson, Texas, and we were actually about a year and a half out of college, and all of our friends had at this point jobs and health insurance, and you know, they were getting like 401k plans, and we were like, what is a 401k plan?
That sounds good. Know. I'll have one of those.
we're living in a condo together, the whole band. I'm married to my husband, but we live in, you know, essentially a little frat house, just the five of us. Our drummer lives in the living room. We've hung a sheet up with tacks, and he lives behind a sheet in the living room. And, and so it was that sort of juncture in our lives where we thought, are we doing this wrong? All of our friends are, you know, kind of flourishing and moving into adulthood. And here we are, we still have a record deal, and we're driving around in a van and living in a condo with all these guys. And maybe we should, I remember thinking and having this conversation, maybe we should grow up already. Maybe we should be practical. And I think so much of our God-given dreams and those things that he lays in our hearts sometimes are put to death early and squashed because we were afraid and we want to be practical and feel like we need to take care of ourselves. Hmm. And it was in those moments that we really began to feel like God was saying, you either trust me or you don't. Hmm. And that's kind of when it came to pass.
Wow. So they get signed with a label, Addison Road, amazing, amazing group. They end up selling well. They ended up performing for sold-out crowds, even graced the Woman of Faith stage. And that season of life, they were flourishing on so many levels, but things were crumbling, too, behind the scenes. Jenny Simmons tells an amazing story in her book, The Road to Becoming, Rediscovering Your Life in the Not How I Planned It Moments. Email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@MyFaithRadio.com. Susie@MyFaithRadio.com. Name, mailing address, and put Road to Becoming somewhere in there. More with Jenny Simmons when we return. Tuning in today. Happy Friday to you. I'm Susie Larson. This is of The Promise, talking to Jenny Simmons, and maybe you recognize her name from Addison Road, fantastic group, and she's talking before the break about how they came together in college and were singing everywhere, playing for shows, and then they got signed with a record label. And take us to that point of the story now. Okay, so you're now performing for sold-out crowds. Still, as you said, your friends have 401ks and like health insurance and full-time jobs, and you guys are still, this is not an easy life. You're traveling one city to the next and playing for sold-out crowds. Talk about that dynamic of seeing that success, but the cost of it as well.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Nobody prepares you for that, you know?
Yeah.
Growing up and as a concert junkie, you would see the tour buses and think, oh, my gosh, that's the life. And nobody tells you that well, actually, on tour buses, you can't even go to the bathroom. You got to stop and go to the gas station. And there's no washers and dryers. And you're wearing clothes 3 and 4 times, and you wake up and you don't know where you are. And I think, too, for artists, just the coming home off the road is such a disillusioning process, because you've been on the road with this tight-knit family that you're doing this very odd sort of lifestyle with. And then you get back home and you realize, oh, I don't live a normal life like the rest of these people. And so you're trying to figure out which world you live in. And it's weird. You'll hear yourself on the radio and everybody associates that with, oh, you've made it. You know, I can't tell you how many times I had an uncle or a grandpa, or we're just so proud of you, you made it. And I'm like, oh, except I just asked my dad if he could pay our light bill, because we can't keep the lights on. We might be on the radio station, but we can't pay the bills yet.
Wow, isn't that something? I remember you talked about one day, so I think you're in between cities, and you walk out the door, and I think if your husband said, babe, is something missed, or did you forget something or whatever, and you realize there's no van. What happened there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were about to leave on this, our first arena tour. It was the Rock and Worship Roadshow with Mercy Me, and we had... We left our apartment actually in Dallas and went down to the parking lot to leave, and everything that we used to make a living was gone. The van, our 16-passenger van, our trailer, you know, and the beginning of a tour, you just stockpile everything in order to make money, pay the bills. So we had, you know, thousands of T-shirts and CDs and all of our equipment and instruments, everything. It was gone. And he went and called the police because he was sure that it had been stolen. And I was super pregnant at the time. And I remember just thinking maybe we'd misplaced it.
Sorry.
And he was like, really? And I was like, I think maybe we just put it in a different parking lot. And he's like, I don't think so.
Bless your heart.
It was gone.
It was never recovered, huh?
No, it wasn't. And then the insurance money kicked in and we repurchased everything. And that, everything that we repurchased was stolen again 3 months later from a different parking lot.
Mm, my goodness. And so twice now you show up to gigs with none of your stuff. What did you do that in that case?
We borrowed stuff. I think I think sometimes when you're walking through the loss the immediate loss of something, whether that's a house fire to flood or even the loss of a person that you love, you're sort of in this shock. And so you look back years later and think, how did we make it through those days? But you just sort of go on impulse. And that's what we did. We kept saying to ourselves, instead of saying, maybe we should stay home and sort this all out, we thought, well, we're contracted to play this show tonight, and we're supposed to be on stage, so we're just going to borrow instruments. And we would set a jar out on the table and say, you know, we don't have anything to sell, but we could use the gas money if you're just moved by the music tonight.
My goodness. And that's what you had to do, is you hit the road. You said that was the logical next step. And you wrote this. It hit me really hard. You said, we can't completely outrun the unraveling. We can just postpone it for a bit. Talk about some of the unraveling that was starting to happen. We've got probably, I would say, about 4 minutes to our bottom of the hour break, but we can pick it up on the other side. But just share about what maybe little symptoms that things weren't all you'd hope they'd be.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, we were just gone all the time. And so there were already strains on our marriages and our families and our friendships. And so that was one level of it. We were beginning to lose things over and over and over again. And actually, we had friends and people close to us. It was very confusing because some people would say, oh my gosh, you're doing such amazing ministry that Satan is trying to stop you. And that's why all this loss is happening. And the other camp would say, oh my gosh, how many ways does God have to reach out to you and shake you up and let you know that you're in the wrong place?
Oh,
and
my
so
goodness.
I remember thinking, who is it? Is it God? Is it Satan? Which voice is at work here? Is it both? You know, and it was just a very confusing time where it was the loss of physical things, and it was the strain on our relationships, financially, just trying to keep that many people on the road was a lot of work. And at this time, I was also a brand new mama. And so I had a baby girl out on the road with me, and she was, you know, at this point, 9, 10 months old. And so it finally unraveled right outside of Las Vegas. And we had rented at that point an RV. And we were traveling in that because the vans had been stolen and the trailers and all the instruments. And it broke down. It broke down outside of Flagstaff, Arizona. We ran cars, went to the show that night, and the company that was fixing the RV said they would send it up to us. And instead, we got a phone call that it had exploded in the desert outside of Las Vegas and burned to the ground, and we lost really everything we owned.
And wasn't there some of the blow-up was where your daughter was initially when you were riding in this thing?
Oh, yeah. When they started sending pictures, all I could think was, oh, thank you, God, that we were not on there, because the explosion came from the engine, which was underneath the bed in the very back of the RV, and that was the area that she and I spent our time all the time. Had we not broken down in that desert and we were on there, it would not have been, been good.
I gasped when I read that story, and that's not all of it.
Here, yeah.
So your baby's sick. Yeah. We've got now about 2 minutes of this hard break, but say a word, if you wouldn't mind, about your cousin and about your dear little baby.
Yeah, I mean, the week of the fire is one of those weeks that I'll just remember the rest of my life, and it did. It started with my baby cousin. I'm from a big military family. My dad's a chaplain in the Air Force, and everybody's in, and my cousin at the time was in Afghanistan, and we'd gotten a phone call that his armored vehicle had driven over an explosive device and didn't know if he was going to make it or not. Yeah. And so I remember that day in particular, my whole family was in shock. My grandparents, my aunts and uncles, very close family. And it was just one of those traumatic things. The next day, I went to get my daughter out of bed, and she had blood coming out of her ears, and her tubes had ruptured. Her eardrums had ruptured. And she just had blood everywhere. And so I remember bringing her, you know, we rushed her to the emergency room, and I'm just thinking, God, this can't be happening. I'm so tired. We're supposed to leave. Here it is Thursday. We're supposed to leave on tour on Saturday. And we've got a baby in a hospital and a cousin who may not make it. And that's when I write in the book that I really kept thinking in my mind, if we could just get on the road and get started, maybe we could outrun some of the craziness. And 2 days later, the RV exploded and burned to the ground.
Wow. Isn't that?
It was definitely a season of unraveling.
Indeed. Wow. And there's so much more to this story. And God's been faithful to Jenny. I'm so curious on the other side, Jenny, as you look back, which voice was right? The person going, can you not see it? Or the person saying the enemy? You know, I'm just curious, but that's crazy making when you hear sincere Christ followers saying two different things and you're in the fire. I mean, my goodness. Title of her book, The Road to Becoming, Rediscovering Your Life in the Not How I Planned It Moments. And if you're in one of those seasons, I really think this book will be a comfort to you. She writes like a best friend. We'd love for you to get a copy into your hands. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Mailing address, name, Road to Becoming, somewhere in that email. Your name will go in the drawing, and we'll be back in a minute.
Hi.
If you're in that time in between and you're in the valley of the shadow, do not give hope. Remember, God is an ever-present help in times of trouble, and His promises are always true, even when they don't feel true. Really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Jenny Simmons. She was the lead singer of Addison Road. We're hearing that backstory. And her title of her book is The Road to Becoming, Rediscovering Your Life in the Not How I Planned It Moments. And before the break, Jenny, you were talking about here you guys are setting out on tour for this big arena, a series of tours, sold out crowds. And one thing after the other happens. So your van, you're robbed, and they steal everything. You lose your instruments. You get your insurance money. You purchase another van. That gets stolen from you. Then you rent an RV, and it breaks down in the desert. So you have to get to, a church, if I remember right, and the guys were going to get it fixed, and the thing blows up on its way. Blows up. Like, if you would have been in it, you guys probably wouldn't be with us anymore. Okay, and then around that same time, you find out that your cousin, your dear cousin in Afghanistan, drove over like a roadside bomb, and your precious little girl woke up with blood coming out of her ears, and you had to rush her to the hospital. Here, this is happening, and you've got two sets of friends or people in your life, some saying, you're doing such good work, this is the enemy attacking you, and others are saying, can you get the clue? Maybe this isn't what God wants you to do. How in the world did you process that when your whole world feels like it's unraveling before you?
You know, I kept going back to Genesis 50, and there's a verse in there that says, you, meaning the devil, you intended it to harm me, but God will turn it to good.
Amen.
And I had read that somewhere, and I would go back between that and John 10:10, which is one of my favorite verses, and I kept just having to say to myself that verse, the thief, the enemy, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus says that I have come to give you life and give it abundantly. And I look back, and I don't know at the root who caused that season, what caused that season. I know I can look at the life of Job and see that God took his hands off and didn't touch it, and that Satan stuck his fingers and poked and poked and poked and poked. And that's what it felt like. But ultimately, when I look back at that season, and when I was in the middle of that season, what I can tell you this is that there was no good reason for me to be able to get up each day and just like basic, just keep breathing and keep going, because it was just too much. I was exhausted and on every level possible. And yet I know I woke up and I kept going and I kept breathing and I kept living because God picked me up and he carried me.
Amen. And Jenny, it's so true. And it's those mercies and those momentary graces. I mean, there is no explanation. Otherwise, it would have swallowed you whole. But I remember a scene of you sitting on, I think, on the floor in a church in Las Vegas. And I mean, I was there with you because your writing is so raw. I was there. I mean, I could see myself sitting on the floor wanting to wrap my arms around you, but you're sobbing. And you're just like, I can't do this. I think you called your dad to come get me. Then you called your friend Jackie. Everybody needs a friend like Jackie. I'm just saying.
Yes.
Tell us what she said to you.
She was, you know, at the time she was my women's pastor back home, and I didn't know who else to call. And I think I say in the book, she was like, she held my hands through the phone. Mm-hmm. It's like, it gives you that big hug that I needed in that moment. She did it through the phone. And I will never, that was the turning point for me in my story because of what she said. And she just kept saying over and over again, like very quietly, Jenny, this is the best night of your life. This is the best night of your life. And I thought she had lost her mind. I was honestly quite annoyed by it. I was like, what part of this is the best night of my life? I can't even wrap my mind around that. And when I finally had just gotten rid of all the tears and got quiet, she said, do you want to know why this is the best night of your life? It's because you are about to see God be God. And I'll never forget that. And she said, Jenny, she said, buckle your seatbelt, sweetheart, because you only think you know what it looks like for God to fight for you and to love you and protect you and to fiercely go before you and behind you and wrap his arms around you. And she began to just quote Psalms 139 about being hemmed in by the very hands of God. And she said, you all have only tasted a glimpse of what it's like to be cared for. And she said, you are about to see God be God in ways that you have never seen before.
I love it. And I feel like that's a word for somebody today. So, Jenny, how did you see that? How did that come to play for you? How did God fight for you, comfort you, make a way for you?
You know, it came in a million different moments. And I think for me, the heart of the book is that it didn't come the way I thought it would. You know, I remember hearing those words like, I'm about to see God be God. Well, that means next week I'll wake up and there'll be a tour bus that's like just gifted us, you know, and all the bills will be paid. And miraculously, my cousin will just like spring up out of a hospital bed and everything will be restored exactly the way it was. And in my heart and in my mind, I realized through the journey that what I wanted from God was a really quick fix, almost a cheap fix, honestly. Just fix it fast, make it better, make the pain go away. And what I learned instead, and I think is even more beautiful, is that it didn't all get fixed and wrapped up perfectly overnight and everything changed. I would be annoyed if somebody told me that story. Because I would think, really? Because that's not how mine went. And if it's gone that way for people, that's wonderful. But I think for a lot of us, our healing is slow. It's a slow dance. It's not a quick fix. Mm-hmm. And it's every day new mercies. And this lady, another lady from my church, reached out during that time and reminded me of the story of Elisha and the widow. And if you haven't heard that story, it had been years since I had. there's this widow, and there has been a drought in the land. She's out of food, out of water. She's down to just enough to make one last loaf of bread. And God tells Elijah, go into this town, meet this widow, and ask her to give you something to eat and to drink. And he does. And the widow looks at him and says, I swear by the Lord your God, I have enough to feed me and my son, and then we're going to die. Like, that's all we have left. And he looks at her and he says, do as the Lord has asked you to do, and you will be taken care of until the drought passes. Hmm. And so she does, which is fascinating to me that she does. I can't imagine as a mom meeting a stranger and being like, well, am I going to give my last bit of bread to my own daughter or this crazy man who's come and told me that God said to feed him? But she does that. And then it says from that day forward, she has just enough oil and just enough flour to provide for what she needs for that day. And for me during that season, that's what it was. It was just enough. It was never this miraculous, crazy big answer and everything was restored instantly. It was waking up each new morning and realizing God has given me just enough to get through today.
And that's really what it means when it says his grace is sufficient. I mean, there are seasons where it's just enough. That's what sufficient means. And there's times right. where his grace abounds. But it's, you know, there are, the right. sufficient grace, I think, requires so much more faith because you want more for mm-hmm. the thing that you've not experienced yet. You know, just love some margin and some in the account would be really great. But it just right. doesn't work that way. So here you are in right. this place of sorting through heartbreak. But getting a new right. handle on God's grace and his fierce love for you. But then the next chapter is titled The End of the Road. So talk about that chapter and the end of Addison Road. Talk about how that came to be.
Yeah. You know, it just, for us, it was very clear after that year that it was time for us to move on for so many right reasons. But like, it was just a sort of sense that the season that we were in was over. And so looking back, it's hard to know, you know, exactly where that took root. But we just knew it kind of clear as day. And so it was a weird season. The band still had songs on the radio. We had a new album that was out, and yet we found ourselves after 11 years getting real jobs. And so I remember the day my husband went, you know, he got a job and went to his first like 9-to-5 day. And I cried all day at home. I was like, what do people do at home all day with their kids? I have no idea. It was such a new world for all of us. So we began to navigate this brand new season. And it was a season that, that honestly, I wasn't prepared for.
Well, your hubby, you know, went to work, so he's kind of landing new territory, and all the guys mm-hmm. in the band felt a sense of relief because you just thought that you maybe would continue, he was going to quit, but they were all ready for the new season.
Yes.
But that sort of left
yep.
you unraveling a little bit further because that's where your identity has been tied to, and really there was a call of God on your life, and I think that's so
yeah.
hard when you walk through a season. Dr. Chris Hill, we had him on. He talks about the arrow principle where God pulls you back to certain things, even things in your past, before he launches you forward. And sometimes it feels like a demotion or we've been overlooked, but he said it's so critical to the next place God has for you. But you can't really know that when you're sorting through all these losses, Jenny. So here you are. He goes to work. The band is over. And how did you find God in that place?
I remember the conversations that I had with God. I was like an angsty teenager. one day, like a little girl in love, like, Lord, I will do anything. I will go anywhere. Just tell me what comes next, and I'll do it. I was just this lovesick puppy. And then the next day I would wake up and realize, well, he didn't give me an answer, and I don't like you anymore. Never mind.
I'm going to Target.
Yes, I'm going to Target. I would go to Target. I would go to Michael's craft store because what I thought, and I think sometimes what we're so quick to say as believers and followers of Christ is just we kind of gloss it over. Like, you know, so many people in my life would say, oh, this is wonderful, you know, referring to the band ending, like, now you can focus on being a mom, or now you can, you know, now God's going to use you in this way or that way. And so many people with good intentions would say, well, you know, what's next? What's coming next? And I would just look at them like, I have no idea what's coming next. I would give anything to know what's coming next. And so it was a season of in one breath saying to God, please, like begging, please show me what's next. And then in the other breath saying, but I trust you if today's not the day you're going to show me. And I trust you if tomorrow's not the day yet that you're going to show me. And what I felt like in that season, the Lord continued to say to me over and over and over again, was that he wanted me to be lost for a season. And I couldn't understand that then because I wanted answers and I wanted those quick fixes. But what he was doing was giving me time for my heart to heal. I wasn't in a place to minister to people because I was broken. And I think sometimes as ministers, we try to gloss that over and just, you know, plow straight into the next season. And God was saying, no, Jenny, you need to rest. You need to be healed. You need time with your daughter. And so there were things that began to take root in my heart, just moments of healing that I couldn't have had if I jumped straight into the next thing and God had given me an immediate answer. I needed a season of rest.
He's such a good father, and he's so protective of his investment in us, protective of us. And in that season of lostness, you wrote about how difficult the season was for you because you weren't good at giving grace to lost people. So I'm thinking, we have to pause here, but I'm thinking, since that's true, you probably didn't give a whole lot of grace to yourself. And I just think, I wonder if in that season, God taught you to be kind to your own heart, you know? Love to pick up the conversation there, but also have you talk about the burying season where you have to bury things. And you said there's kind of a solemn sacredness to the letting go. I want to make sure we cover that as well. So let's talk about that on the other side. This is our final break. Talking to Jenny Simmons, The Road to Becoming, Rediscovering Your Life, and the Not How I Planned It moments. Email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Mailing address, name, and then write Road to Becoming. You'll get in on the drawing. Four of you get a copy of this book. Back in a moment. Chain breaker. I want you to believe that because there's times we go through storms, but I think you often probably hear me say this, the storms reveal the lies we believe and the truths we need. And if you're in a storm right now, instead of trying to fix everything, look around at what's shaking and what's not. God's word's not shaking. His love for you is not shaking. And the lies, this is a good time to identify them. Maybe things that you've been believing about yourself that aren't true. And God's saying to you, I don't want to take you to this next place while you're hanging onto that. Let's deal with it. Well, I'm talking to Jenny Simmons of Addison Road. Amazing conversation. This is our final segment with her. So if you're interested in the amazing backstory she's just shared, and it's amazing, so you got to go back. The podcast will be up in just a bit, and you'll be able to hear the whole program. We're kind of talking now about these seasons. You break up this broken dream, this road to becoming, into these different parts. And the burying, where this is a place where you let go. And you said letting go is a holy summons, an invitation to move forward. I want you to talk a little bit about what that letting go process was like. And maybe if you wouldn't mind, speak to the person listening today who probably feels guilty at the thought of letting go. Like it's just time. It's time to bury this thing and believe for something new.
I mean, it's a hard place to be because it's such a juxtaposition. You've loved something so deeply, you know? And so I think sometimes one of the biggest things that we've done to sort of rob people within the Christian church is just tell them the burial has to be quick and fast, and then you're supposed to move on and you're supposed to have it all back together yet. And even my sister, we walked through last year, she lost her baby girls at birth, twin girls, Maggie and Ellen. And I remember how many people would say, you know, without even thinking, I know they didn't mean to, but they would say to me, you know, well, at least she has another daughter, right? And I kept thinking, oh my gosh, yes, there's another daughter, yes, but can we just give some space and grace for each other to grieve and bury? Because we grieve and bury those things because we loved them. God called us to love them in the first place. And so if you're listening today and you're feeling the guilt of letting go and moving forward, I guess I would just say to you, I think it is a very holy thing for us to take the time that we need to be able to properly bury the things that we've loved. And this, I'm pregnant right now. And in the same way that, you know, the doctors keep saying, well, it's taken you 9 months to get pregnant. it's going to take you 9 months to get unpregnant. You know, if you've been married for 30 years and you're grieving the loss of that, I'm not saying it's going to take 30 years on the other side, but gosh, we sure got to give people.
Oh my goodness, we just lost her. And I'm just thinking we'll get her back. Kyle will give her a call. But I want you to think about what she just said, that it's a holy thing to take the time that we need to properly bury the things that we've lost. And I think we rush through things so, so fast. And if you're burying, if you think this is a season of burying and I just got to put it underneath me and look ahead, something's going to remain unfinished in your soul. You know when it's time to move on. And so don't let people put that on you, right? Okay, I think we've got her back. Hey, Jenny.
Hey, I have no idea what happened.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
It's totally good. But I wanted to revisit this. I thought it was so powerful. It's you said it's a holy thing to take the time we need to properly bury the things that we've lost in our lives. If we rush through that, I think we short-circuit some of that healing process, don't we?
Absolutely, we do. We short-circuit it. But then on the flip side of that as well are those of us who become perpetual grievers. And I think there is a place and a time for grief and bearing. And that's something that, more than anything, my heart is to give people the space that they need to do that. But on the other side, you know, even God himself doesn't short-circuit the desert. He says he makes a way through the wasteland. I go back to Isaiah 43. At the top of the show, we talked about that passage. It makes a way through the wasteland, makes streams in the desert. He doesn't say he bypasses the desert and gives us a way around it. He makes a way through it. And so to me, what that says is that we're not supposed to die in the desert. Mm-hmm. And we're not supposed to die in our grief and our suffering and our bearing. We have a God who cares about us and loves us enough to say that while you're in the desert, I will send manna and part red seas and will bring streams and water into the wasteland. But there is another side to your wasteland. And if you've been in the desert for too long, it's time to move out and see that God has new life on the other side.
Come on, somebody. That's amazing. I always say that when I get excited. Sorry. Okay.
No, good,
okay. The season of lostness. And I thought this was so interesting. You were talking about how this one didn't suit you well. So the band had ended and it was time to move on. But your husband then found a day job and you're home with your little girl. So your time of grieving and just sense of indirection kind of continued in this place. And you said it was difficult for you because you weren't good at giving grace to lost people. And I'd asked you before the break. So you probably didn't give a whole lot of grace to yourself. I bet you probably, and I may be projecting, but I would do the same thing, berated yourself for not knowing what's next when people would ask you what's next.
Oh, absolutely. I felt like such a loser. And I realized that I think a lot, you know, it didn't occur to me until that season. I think a lot of the worst mistakes that we make in life is because we are so deeply worried about not having an answer and not having an easy solution or a next step. And instead of saying that out loud to somebody and risking being embarrassed or feeling ashamed, we just take something that God doesn't even have for us. We take it and we claim it and make it our own because we would rather do that and fix it in a wrong way than sit in the season of waiting and lostness. And so, it was in that season that I realized I would wake up in the morning and be like, I'm going to go apply to Starbucks today. And my husband would be like, Jen, you have a number one song on the radio right now. What are you even talking about? Like you, God has asked you and called you to do something, and here you are trying to put together scraps because you just so desperately want to tape it together. And I realized in that season that I wanted faith for other people. You know, I wanted you to have faith, Susie, and I wanted like preachers to have faith and those kind of people to wait on God. But I didn't want to have to wait on God. And I think that there's these seasons where we don't have answers. What we have is just the hand of God holding us and walking alongside of us, shining a light on the very next step, not the entire path or the blueprint.
There are seasons when we don't have answers, but we have the hand of God holding us. So good. I got to read this. We've probably just got about 2.5 minutes before we wrap and pray, but I'm thinking of a person who needs to hear what you've written here. And you write, some people are desperate for a detour. It's a pretty good litmus test for figuring out if you are in the right place or not. If you can't stand your current situation and secretly wish the road you're on would close in front of you so you can take a much-needed detour, It's probably time for a life change. Don't wait for the road to crumble. It might not ever happen. Pack your bags and get going. You have permission to write your own road closed sign. Say more about that, because there are times I feel like, Jenny, when we wait too long, let's say the grace is lifting. I've just researched this and written about it myself, that if we stay longer than the grace, I think our recovery takes that much longer. So speak to that person who's maybe sensing God's been saying for a while, it's time to make a change, but they haven't yet.
Right, absolutely. You're right. The longer we stay in those places that are literally sucking the life out of us, they're draining us of life, and then everybody that we touch is feeling that stress and that tension, because we're in a place that we were not created to be. We're in a place that we weren't meant to be, and I meet so many people, and the rationale is, well, if I quit, I don't know what happens next. And I want to say, yeah, but if you stay where you are, you're literally, the life is falling out of you and everyone around you. And so sometimes I think taking God's hand and saying, you know what, I'm going to step out of this place that is taking so much from me and so much from my family and my soul, even my integrity, my passions and creativity. I'm going to stop letting that rob me of those things that God has given me. And I'm going to take this bold step into sort of nothingness, not having all the answers figured out yet, but knowing that because I do that, like, I'm going to start seeing my life restored again. And so if you're out there, you know, there's a good chance the road closed sign might not come for you as fast as you're thinking. Why sit in that for months and years and watch those very things that God put inside of you begin to burn out, when you can step away and trust that there's something else on the other side?
You know, maybe listening, if that resonates with you, you need to take a trip to Michael's and buy some glitter glue and some paint and make a really nice road closed sign and then take the next step. So good, Jenny. Yes. I've got about 10 more questions for you, and we're out of time. I hope you'll come back and visit again, because I want to talk more about just what God has done and how just the whole becoming. And this was so good, but I'm sorry we didn't even get to that point. But would you pray for that person listening today who you just spoke to, who needs to put that road closed sign up? Would you pray for them?
Absolutely. God, we love you, and we are so grateful that you are a Father that walks with us through every season and every journey that we're on. God, for everybody listening to this today, I pray that they would sense your presence near. And sometimes we don't always get the answer that we are looking for right away, but we get you, and you are enough, and you are sufficient. And so, God, may we be brave and bold and courageous to take your hand and to follow you in those places that don't make a lot of sense, and trust that you are there as we grieve and bury and wait for new life to come forth. God, you say that you are the giver of life abundantly. And so we pray that we would sense that and know that and walk into that, God, trusting that you are a God that makes a way through the wasteland and brings streams into our deserts, so that your people, who you have called by your name, may proclaim your praise. And we proclaim your praise, Father, for you are so good to us. And it's in your name that we pray and that we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Jenny, I'm so sorry you went to the wine press, but I got to tell you, I celebrate the streams of living water that flow out of you because of that time. And thank you for stewarding your pain so well that others could be nourished by it. It was fantastic having you on the show today.
Thank you, Susie. It was a gift to be here.
I hope you'll come back. Wow. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. And the title of Jenny's book, again, in case you want to check it out, is The Road to Becoming, Rediscovering Your Life in the Not How I Planned It Moments. Fantastic book. And I just think it may encourage you, especially if you're in such a season. Remember this, too. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who's going to keep you strong to the end. So walk with him, trust him, believe his promises are true, even when they don't feel true. Have a great weekend. We'll meet you back here next time.